Dear God, thank you for the church and the kids club and the kids club leaders. And please help Lawrence to teach us about you. And please help us to listen. Well, amen.
Excellent. I love that. Because this morning we are talking about listening and hearing God's call. Before I chat to you this morning, just one quick announcement, one kind of big one. We have our Easter General Vestry coming up, and if you would like to have a say in the running of Willowfield Church, well, you need to sign up at the back at the welcome desk, get your name on the list, really. And the way that we kind of would encourage people is, if you are given in a recorded way, that means you can sign up. And that's not so, you know, people say, oh, you're typical, they want their money. But because we're not a school, we don't do an attendance role. So when you're here, we don't tick off your name. But actually, if you give in a recorded way, we know that you actually come to the church then. So that's why it is, and I've kind of got my head around that now. So if you would like, if anyone 18 or over, you would like to be involved in Easter General Vestry and get a say in the running of the church and the wider Church of Ireland, then please sign up at the back. And if you want to find more about giving in those recorded ways, speak to someone there as well. That's enough for notices. That's pretty cool. I am going to pray. And just kind of one of the quick announcements as I pray, our youth worker Reuben was meant to be speaking this morning. He is currently off. On Tuesday night, his father-in-law passed away really suddenly, and the funeral was yesterday. His name is Trevor Corrigan, and just keep Jenny and Reuben in your prayers. We would really appreciate that. It's been a really rough time for them, but we're going to pray for some other families who are grieving at the minute as well. So let's just close our eyes and we'll just come before God again. I think you can never pray too much. God, we pray for the families of Francis Hamilton, of Robert Kugel, of Trevor Corrigan and Marie Roberts, and that you would be so close. You would be so close to them as they feel like things are just falling apart. As the storms are raging, I pray that you would still their hearts and let them know that you are so close. You are the giver of peace. And I pray that you would just help us, as Frank prayed so amazingly, that you would help us to listen to you, that we wouldn't just hear your word, but we would be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So our theme this year in Kids and Youth, as you've maybe heard by now, is Truth Then Dare, that we want to learn lots of truths from the Bible, and then not just know them, but then dare to live them out. And as was shared this month, it is God is worthy, dare to worship him freely. I don't think I've plugged in the wee thing for the clicker, but it's God is worthy, dare to worship him freely. And we heard the verses from Matthew read so well from Ruby Ogle at our kids' gym. You've seen the skipping going on in the background, but it's the verses from Matthew 9:9-13, when Jesus calls Matthew, otherwise known as Levi. Now, this story is in all of the three of the Gospels. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and there it is. God is worthy, dare to worship him freely. And in the other two, it refers to Matthew as Levi, but in Matthew, he refers to himself as Matthew. So we have these verses, and we're going to go through them a wee bit this morning. And really, I was so encouraged last month by just how God was speaking. As we give him time, as we give him space to speak to us and speak to the kids, he was doing amazing things. And as we think of the call of Matthew being called by Jesus, I want us to keep going into this theme about how God speaks, dare to listen in faith. Now, I get to go around lots of schools doing assemblies, and at the minute, I'm going around singing this song by George Ezra called Shotgun. Has anybody heard it? Put your hand up if you've heard it. So what I like to point out to them after is that actually during the song, there is a burp, and it's a bit weird, and once you hear it, you can't unhear it. It's one of those things, but you have to listen really, really carefully to hear it. So we're going to listen to it this morning, okay? And George Ezra obviously isn't here to say excuse me, so we can just excuse him. But listen really carefully, and you will hear it.
I'll be riding Shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone.
Okay.
South.
Did you hear it? Well, maybe whack it up a wee bit more there, Adam. Right, we'll go for one more. Here we go.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like it's someone.
Three.
South.
Who wants one more time? Hey, boys. Yes? Okay, one more time. Here we go. Listen very carefully.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like it's someone.
Here we go.
South.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can hear when you listen really carefully. When I saw that on Facebook, I was like, there's no way that's true. And then I heard it, and yeah, I believed that it was true, and then I couldn't unhear it. And when I was looking up the importance of listening, I was so struck by this quote by Helen Keller. And at the time, I didn't really know who she was, but then I looked it up, and she says, blindness cuts us off from things. Deafness cuts us off from people. Now, Helen Keller was someone who couldn't speak, who was blind and was deaf. And for her to say this was so powerful. As Christians, we know amazing grace, and it's about not being blind and then being able to see. But sometimes we might miss the importance of not listening and not being able to hear. And I think that is so important, and that's what we're chatting about this morning. One of the big things that I've been struck recently is in the new update of the iPhone, it breaks down your screen time for you. And that's dangerous, because I was really challenged, because when you go in, you can see how much you've been on social networking, how much you've been on games and other stuff, and then it tells you how much you've been on your Bible app. And when I saw the difference between Facebook and my Bible app, I was ashamed, and I thought, right, I need to sort this out. This is not good enough. So it made me really think and look at myself. And it Made for More Northern Ireland, they shared this on Facebook and Instagram on Friday, that teenagers will spend an average of up to 8 hours a day online. So sometimes we can be like, well, I don't have time for exercise, I don't have time to do my homework. But if you can find 8 hours a day to be online, you definitely have time for those other things. And as a team, some of us are doing Bible in a Year this year. And we've finally got through Job, and it was hard work. Job was hard work, reading that every day, okay? But we've got the Exodus, and these verses in Moses, I was really struck by this. When Moses has been called by God, and God says to him, you know, what is in your hand? You know, throw it down. And if God said what is in your hand to us, it would most likely be our phone. And we definitely wouldn't throw it down, because we'd be like, do you not know what this is worth? I'm not throwing down my iPhone. Okay, if it was a wee tenner one, maybe I would throw it down. But I was really struck by that. What is in your hand? And would you give it up for God? We were at Hub Unplug last week at Crown Jesus. And it was a six-minute drama. And I was sitting beside one of the young people, and I said, I think God really wants to speak to you during this. And she checked her phone, oh my goodness, you know, more than once every minute, and missed what God wanted to say. And I wonder, are we missing God when he calls us? And there's so many ways that we can miss a call, okay? So we can reject it. We can do that thing where we see that someone's calling us, but we ignore it. You're like, I don't really feel like talking to them. So you'll wait for the call to run out, and then you'll text them saying, oh, sorry, I missed your call. Did you want me? But you hope that they text back instead of phone back, okay? Because you're so busy, maybe you missed the call. Maybe you have no reception in the first place to receive the call, and some of us can be like that spiritually as well. Or you decide to be brave, maybe, and just accept the call. But also, during these verses, we're thinking about how God isn't here for the righteous. He's here for sinners. And the Pharisees, they think they know it all. And I feel that is kind of like the do not disturb bit on the iPhone, where you're just like, yeah, I don't want disturbed. I know it all already. And these people could probably do church rightly without God's presence. If God's presence was withdrawn from church, things would just keep going as they were. God hasn't come for the righteous. He's come for sinners and people who know that they are sinners. So I want to talk about the different kinds of call. The first one is that Matthew was given a clear call. Jesus called him, and it was clear. He said, follow me and be my disciple. There's lots of different examples of when God calls people, like when Samuel is called, Eli is his mentor. Samuel's lying in bed, and God calls to Samuel, and Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice. It's his first time that God has spoken to him, and Eli doesn't really catch on. He's just like, just go back to bed, you know, let me sleep. And then the third time, Eli realizes, it's God that's calling you. So if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As people mature in their faith, we need to teach our young people and our kids how to recognize God's voice, like Eli eventually did with Samuel, so that they can recognize when God is calling them. Also, with Elisha and Elijah, when Elijah, God has called him to go and get Elisha as his assistant, and he just walks up to him and puts his cloak on him, and that is his call. And Elisha recognizes it, and then he says, you know, well, can I go and kiss my mom and dad goodbye? And Elijah tells him to think about it, but part of that call, we'll chat about in a wee bit more, but the second part of God's call is, well, it can be a costly call. Well, actually, it is a costly call. In Luke, which describes this call of Matthew, when Matthew is called Levi in Luke, it said, so Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. He left everything, the riches that he had, because as a tax collector, he was able to charge as much as he wanted and keep as much as he wanted in his pocket and just give to the Romans what was theirs. But he could make a fortune. But he left everything to follow God. Same with Elisha. People would think that actually Elisha was from a very wealthy background. And it says that he left the plow. And not only did he do that, he burnt it and he slaughtered the oxen so that he couldn't go back to it. Because trust is not having a backup plan. And to follow God is such a big step of trust to say, I'm going to leave everything to follow you. It's a costly call. The next one is, it's a call to connection. It's a call to connection because in verse 11, it says, why does your teacher eat with such scum? The Pharisees were complaining that Jesus was with these people that they thought were scum, but Jesus didn't come just for the righteous. He came for everyone. He wants relationship with us all. He didn't come for religion. He came for relationship. He calls us to connection with him. But we have to come through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Next then, we have a choice to answer the call. God doesn't call us, and he doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want to control us. Because love is a choice. He gives us the choice to answer it or to reject the call. And we have the example of the rich man who was given the choice. He was face to face with Jesus. He asked Jesus, what can I do to be your disciple? Jesus told him that it was going to be a costly call. And it says, but the young man heard this. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. He couldn't count the cost of God's call. In Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must take up my cross. You must take up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. So the last one is, well, it's a call to take up your cross. It's a call to take up your cross. And God wants us to decide. He gives us the choice to choose. He's given us a clear call. It's a costly call, yes, but it's a choice of connection. And he wants us to take up our cross. And some things that I feel that God impressed on my heart what do we do to take up our cross? Well, it was these three words that I felt that God gave me. Well, we need faith. We need faith to take up our cross because it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. After faith, we need obedience. God doesn't just want us to do it because, you know, he wants to control us. He wants us to obey out of, you know, us understanding that he loves us. That we're, that not that he's going to hurt us if we don't, you know, follow him, but actually if we don't follow him, it breaks his heart because he loves us so much. Because when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. That if we're to be obedient to God, we're to show mercy. He says, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. But then Jesus replied in Matthew 22, how can we be obedient? Well, it says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Bob Goff tweeted this yesterday. He says, loving people like Jesus did is great theology. Because some of us were just hunting for a certain type of theology, but actually the best theology is doing what Jesus said. And he told us to love people, to love the Lord our God, and then to love others as ourselves. Not so that we put ourselves last all the time, but yeah, we need to take care of ourselves as well. And the last one is, as we were singing earlier, well, it's prayer. I love these verses in 2 Chronicles. Then if my people here called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. But it goes on to say, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive. I will be listening to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. But as I felt those three words just impressed upon my heart, I also felt this as well, because when we take up our cross, our lives are full of potential. Because with Christ in us, the hope of glory, we can do amazing things in his name. Not because we are righteous in our own strength, but because he makes us righteous, because he gives us robes of righteousness, that he is a good, good father who gives good gifts to his children. And I wonder this morning, do you want to reach that potential? This is one of the verses I've been sharing in schools all over Belfast. Because Gideon, when the angel appears to him, and I've shared this before, he says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. But at that point, when the angel speaks it over him, he's not acting like a hero, he's hiding. And he's speaking negative stuff over himself. He says he's the least, he's the worst. But to reach his potential, he's got to stop hiding. He's got to stop hiding in his wine press. And he's got to start reaching that potential to go for it in God's strength. And for me this morning, I felt like there's people maybe here, and this is myself included, who aren't reaching that potential because we're hiding behind fear. We're hiding behind hurt or excuses or pride or past. Or maybe it is we're hiding behind a screen. And God wants us to hide behind his cross. And this morning, Natalie's going to come and lead us in a bit of response. But please, don't just be hearers of God's word, but be doers and dare to live it out. Because God wants to speak to you, and he wants to use you. He doesn't just want to use the person beside you, but everybody here is full of potential to build God's kingdom. But not if you just think you're righteous and you deserve it, but actually the words of reckless love, that we don't deserve it, we couldn't earn it. But God gives us it anyway because he loves us. We love because he first loved us. I'm going to invite the band back, and Natalie's going to come up and just tell us how we're going to respond. But let's just close our eyes and be still for a moment and really just give him space to speak to you. Maybe just be honest before him and admit what you've been hiding behind, or ask him, you know, maybe it's a blind spot for you. We've all got blind spots. Maybe ask someone you really trust, what do you think it is that I'm hiding behind? Why am I not reaching my potential? And it takes vulnerability to do that. But vulnerability is strength. Let's just be still.